Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Glad to be back today. Glad to be back. It's a beautiful weekend so far. And, you know, on today's show, we're going to be talking about dysfunction. We're going to talk about dysfunction. We're going to have a little fun with it, too. We're going to have a little fun with the show today because we're going to be talking about pointing out dysfunction. And we're going to be talking about what happens when we're overlooking dysfunction. And I know that many of us have a tendency of doing that. I even have a tendency of overlooking dysfunction with people that are next to me, near me. Why do we do it? Why does that happen? Why do we overlook some of the things? Why do things happen out of the blue? And I know that many of you that are listening right now, whether you're listening on USA Radio networks around the country on AM radio, or you are listening or watching on social media, you know, one way or another, many of us have had a situation where something happened out of the blue and we felt like we had no idea that this was going to happen. And in reality, other people were like, what are you talking about? We saw the train wreck happening, you know, years ago. Where were you at? Okay, and I think we've all been there before, whether it's a close friend of ours that we didn't see something coming, or a couple that we are very close to that we didn't realize the dysfunction, and all of a sudden they're getting a divorce randomly, or our family, perhaps maybe your mother or father when you were growing up, or as an older adult or younger adult, they decide to get divorced, and you're like, this happened out of the blue. Where did this happen? Or whatever happens, we have a tendency of not seeing the dysfunction. We're overlooking it. And I find it interesting because I feel that we do this a lot. I think that we do this in our own life. I think that we do this in other people's lives. I think that we especially do it with friends and people that are near to us because we're not analyzing their every move. And we really just don't want to, right? Because we want to have a normal life where we get along and we connect and we can have conversation. But in the same half, it's like, why did this happen? And how do we overlook this? How do we begin to overlook this? And when did this become something that we do? Okay, so this show is dedicated to Jeff, by the way. Jeff, I'm dedicating this show to you for obvious reasons. And it was interesting because I recently put a video out. It's coming out. It might be out already on the members page on the membership site on the YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, just put it Ashley Burgess in. You know, just go to YouTube and, you know, just search up Ashley Burgess and you'll find it. And you can actually join there as well. It's got a private membership option as well where I put some content at. And one of the pieces of content that we created recently is titled The Poop in the Pool. And it's interesting because the concept of the poop in the pool, and this is dedicated to Jeff, is he was telling me years and years ago that long time ago in his life, a situation took place where they were all swimming around, his entire family, and everybody's hanging out, and it's a summer break, and everybody's in the pool and having a good time. And his cousin points out the fact that somebody had pooped in the pool. And it wasn't his cousin that did it. You know, he was just pointing out the fact that it was there. Just pointing it out. And I've talked about this on a couple other shows before because I just think this is so interesting. And, you know, he's hanging out, and next thing you know, the aunt grabs him out of the pool and just starts spanking him. And it wasn't him that did it. It was just him that pointed out the dysfunction. And I know that I've talked about pointing out dysfunction, but I haven't talked about how this began and why it started. Okay, because that's what we need to know is why do we do this? Because sometimes we sit there and say, why was I so stupid that I didn't see this coming? Or where was I at? You know, sometimes I'll work with clients and they'll say, you know, I had no idea that my spouse was going to ask me for a divorce. I never saw it coming. Or I never saw my parents going to get divorced. Or I never saw this happening. Or I never thought so-and-so was going to go to rehab. And the list goes on. But I've realized that beginning at a young age is when this overlooking of the dysfunction began. Okay. And why this started is when we're young kids and we're in a family dynamic and we're not able to make big decisions and we're not able to make choices for our own life and we're not able to move into our own apartment or drive ourselves when we're young, we actually have to deal with the fact that we have to be okay with what's happening in the family dynamic. We have to be okay with it. It's not like we can run away and get our own place. We just have to kind of acquiesce. right? It's one of my favorite words because I don't like the meaning of it, but I like the way it sounds. But anyway, point being is that we had to acquiesce to whatever was happening pretty much in the family dynamic. So if there was a lot of dysfunction, we just had to deal with it. And at 5 years old, 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, pointing out the dysfunction doesn't really help us with anything, right? I don't know about you, but if you've ever pointed out the dysfunction when you were a kid, it probably didn't fall on happy ears. People probably didn't go, wow, it's so great. Thanks for pointing out that dysfunction here. We can all be a better family for it. Now, some of you might have been in a family dynamic where you were able to comment on the situation and that people would actually listen to you. And there was an open dialogue. And people were up to the fact of, well, maybe I do need to make some changes and maybe it would behoove me if I did XYZ. But I think most of us did not grow up in that family dynamic. If you did, kudos to you. However, if you didn't, you know what I'm saying is that if there was dysfunction, let's say that there was dysfunction between your mother or father, or dysfunction with maybe somebody was an alcoholic or using drugs, or there was some issues with a sister or brother or stepsister or brother, you know, it was very hard to bring that up because nobody wanted to hear that, right? Nobody wanted to hear that there was a problem in the family. Nobody wanted to talk about what we call the dirty laundry, right? And I always find that interesting because the dirty laundry is so interesting that we, and I find that almost, I don't think it's a situational, and I don't think it's a timeline thing. You know, some people say, they go back and they say, oh, this was something that happened back in the baby boomers generation, or this happened in this generation, or this happened during World War II. I really think that there's certain people that just don't want to talk about any dysfunction. And I think that there's some people out there that they believe that dysfunction, if it's talked about, makes them look bad. I feel also there's some folks that we feel like we almost have like this mandate to point out the dysfunction. I've worked with clients recently that they say, I don't understand. I pointed out the dysfunction, but the next thing you know, I'm not being spoken to. My best friend won't call me on the phone. I was just trying to protect them. What happened? I was just pointing out the fact that I believe that this was not real or something was wrong. And when I pointed that out, the next thing you know, I'm being blocked. And so we got to figure out who can we point out the dysfunction with? Who's ready for that type of truth, and then who's not? You know, and the funny thing about it is that I find that, you know, when we're growing up in the dynamic, it teaches us as a young child whether we're able to vocalize our opinions and our feelings or if we need to hold it all in. Okay? Am I allowed to talk about how I feel? Am I allowed to have emotion? Am I allowed to point out what I see or I feel? Or do I feel like I can't? And if I have, and I've been shut down, I just don't do it any longer. You know, I find it remarkable how people can live as adults in a family dynamic where there's massive levels of dysfunction all around, but they're able to kind of maneuver the landmines on a daily basis, right? And the interesting part about it is they don't realize they're maneuvering these landmines every day. They just don't know why they just have such little energy. I don't know why I feel so bad. I don't know why I feel beaten down. I don't know why I feel so tired all the time. You know, it's interesting when I work with clients who are dealing with, you know, a lot of stress and anxiety coming because of the spouse and they're walking on eggshells. Because they don't know what to say to that person. And every time they say something to that person, it's taken wrong. And then it's turned around. And then there's a fight or an argument. And they just try to avoid it. It's like, I just want to avoid conflict at all costs. I just don't want to deal with it. I'm going to put my head in the sand. And that's what most of us do, right? We just don't want to deal with it. It's like, why do we want to deal with it? It's like, if I just don't say anything, it'll go away. If I just don't bring it up. If I don't bring up the elephant in the room, it might go away. You know, some people ask, you know, when folks have been married for a long period of time, 20, 30 years in a dysfunctional marriage, how could you be married that long? Well, I think it becomes easy. I think it becomes like a strategy of how to self-survive. You know, it's almost like, okay, I'm gonna try to strategize how I can stay alive through these landmines, keep it together, and then we have the outside persona of how everything is going great. Nowadays with social media, it's so easy to keep up this persona, right? The social media, the Instagrams of the world where we see folks where it looks like they're the best mother or the best father, like they're taking their kid on everything. Is that the truth? Or it's the best family. Everybody's so happy and they're all wearing their whites on the beach where they jump up and they do that kind of stupid jump where everybody's jumping in midair. I mean, come on. If I see that again, I don't know. Anyway, I mean, God bless. I understand it's something that photographers like to do. But, you know, okay, so you see all these types of things. Everybody dressed the same or everybody in their Christmas flannel, you know, and you're like, oh, how cute. But you're like, is this real? Or is this the image that's being shown to me to cover up the dysfunction? You know, what about folks that have joint Facebook pages? Okay? Think about that. And I mean, maybe there's a few of you out there that you have a joint Facebook page because the other person just doesn't participate. And that makes sense. But some folks, not true. Some folks, something went down and somebody doesn't trust the other person on the Facebook, right? So now they have access to, they can see the comments, they can see the messenger, who's messaging who. You know, sometimes you think, oh, this must be the perfect marriage. They had the perfect marriage. And then, no, and then it's like you think they have the perfect marriage and they share these Facebook pages. No, it's because they don't trust each other. It's because there's absolute trust issues there. And I think more and more we have a tendency of defining ourselves based on what we see on social media from other people, right? And we think that they have the perfect marriage, but they just don't. Or we think they have the perfect family, and they just don't. And it's interesting because it's hard to see the truth and how and also it's hard to look at reality. And I think a lot of times when someone tells us something, it's really challenging. And I had something happen the other day that I thought was remarkable. And this is what I think is so, so interesting. And it's happening all the time now on media, all over the world. It was funny. I got a message from a friend of mine, and they showed a picture of a pan with three little steaks in there, like fillets or whatever, right? And it said, I'm not eating red meat tonight at all. Okay, that was the text. And it said, I've decided to listen to you. Okay. And it made me confused because I kept looking at the picture and I swear it looked like red meat in there. I swear. And I kept looking at it and looking at it and looking. And I kept telling myself over time, it must be salmon. I convinced myself that three pieces of meat look like possible salmon. And I convinced myself that therefore they weren't eating red meat because of the words that they texted me saying they were not eating red meat. That's not true. They were eating red meat. Those were fillets of meat that were in that picture. But I tried to tell myself that based on what was told to me in the written word. And I think nowadays, more than ever, we are told how somebody feels. We are told how we are supposed to think. We are told that somebody has a healthy marriage. We are told that this person is XYZ. But it's like at some point in time, we've got to go back to the actions to make some of these decisions in our life. And I know when we were kids, what do? We had a tendency of overlooking the actions because we knew darn well what was going on, but there was nothing we could do to change it. So later on in today's show, I'm going to be talking about how we deal with the dysfunction. How do we express it? Are we allowed to bring it up? Are there certain people that we can bring it up with and certain people we can't? Obviously, that's true. And then what happens when we can't? What happens when we're stuck in a situation that we cannot bring up the dysfunction? What do we do then? Okay, and I'm going to give us some guidance on this because I know that many of you are dealing with this. You got somebody in your life you really care about, but the dysfunction is just way too much, and it's time to try to figure out how to safeguard yourself. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, so stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's passed away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and to preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's DanCestorsGenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
Why do you think bank presidents and jewelry store owners trust ADT to protect their homes and businesses? Because they feel safe, and you can too. How would you like to monitor your home from fire, floods, and yes, robberies without even being there right from your smartphone? That is peace of mind. You may even save money on your homeowner's insurance just by having an ADT system installed. And there's even a money-back guarantee. How about that? We guarantee 100% satisfaction. You have nothing to risk. Why do you think people who have so much to protect trust ADT? Because it works. Call right now for a free quote. We'll even give you a free gift for calling. So pick up your phone and call Protect Your Home, an ADT authorized premier provider now.
800-818-0191. 800-818-0191. 800-818-0191. That's 800-818-0191.
Hey Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we're talking about overlooking dysfunction. Why we overlook dysfunction? Well, we overlook dysfunction growing up because we couldn't do anything about it. Many of us were in a family dynamic where there was a lot of dysfunction, and bringing it up just wasn't the thing to do. And maybe we did bring it up, but then there was a problem. We brought it up, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't the dysfunction anymore that was the issue. It was the fact that we brought it up. It was the fact that we brought it up. How dare us bring up the dysfunction? How dare us talk about things that are not perfect in this family? Right? And I find that this continues all the way through our adult life, all the way to the end of our life, for that matter. Most people, we don't point out dysfunction at all because we're in fear. And then many of us deal with the dysfunction, even though we don't like it. And then many of us resent the dysfunction. And then many of us feel like we're losing the best years of our lives because we're in the middle and inundated in dysfunction. Okay? And there's two different groups of people. You have the group of people that you can point out the dysfunction, and the group of people that you can't. Okay? So how do we figure out who we can point it out to and who we can't? Who can we point out the dysfunction to? Who can we have, even, we don't even have to point out the dysfunction immediately. Who can we have a real down-to-earth conversation with? Who can we actually have a down-to-earth, real conversation with that won't get heated and people won't be screaming and yelling at one another? And that's a big question. Because what I've found is that a lot of times, because of our desire to deflect and our desire to project and our desire to deny and our desire to run away, I'm running out of this deal. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to hear how I'm screwing up. Or, you know what, this is all you. You bringing up this dysfunction? Well, this dysfunction is because of you. Or you're the reason why I'm dysfunctional. Okay, and then the old victim reality, right, where people sit there and say, no, yeah, I see it, but, you know, you're the reason why this whole family is, you know, it has problems because of you, because you're the one, you know. You're the narcissist. You're the this. You're the that. So it's like we have to find out, are people ready to even accept the fact of the truth? And first of all, we have to get right and make sure that we are actually processing this as the truth. And that's one of the biggest things, is that we got to step back and look at our own triggers. What's triggering us with this dysfunction? Why is this dysfunction so triggering to us? Honestly, you got to look at it. The triggers are important because the triggers actually help us to acknowledge where we are in our growth. Right? The less triggers, the better off we are because we've worked through them. You know, if we got a ton of triggers, and we're constantly angry, and we're constantly a short fuse, probably not a good thing. That means that we have a lot of anger issues, and we need to figure out where those anger issues came from, okay? And I'm not saying that anger is a horrible thing. I'm just saying anger seems to be our go-to, right? Anger is like the one emotion that's supposed to process them all, even though anger really has a challenging process, because anger really doesn't work, because we really never examine exactly, because really anger is usually sadness or resentment, or overwhelmed, or underwhelmed, or we feel defenseless, right? So it's like, what's triggering us? So first off, why are we being triggered on the dysfunction? Does the dysfunction upset us so much? Okay, first off, that's a big one. And that takes a little bit of time and effort to figure out. But once we figure out that and we say, okay, I get it. I understand why this dysfunction triggers me. Maybe it reminds you of childhood. Maybe it reminds you also of the fact that it's triggering because you haven't been able to say anything about it. Maybe this reminds you of growing up, about how you had to keep quiet, couldn't say anything, right? And then it's like, okay, I can't keep doing this because I did this before and I don't want those same results. I want different results. So when we return, I'm going to be talking more about this. I'm going to be talking about the people we can, the people we can't point out, and what we do with those people that we cannot point out the dysfunction, how we deal with them in our life, and what we do with that, because, you know, we got to figure out. We got different tiers of people in our life. We got to figure out how to make it work. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shapes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's past away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's Dancestors Genealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. A U.S. appeals court on Friday upheld its decision to put on hold an order by President Joe Biden to require COVID-19 vaccines. A three-member panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans affirmed its ruling despite the Biden administration's position that halting implementation of the vaccine mandate could lead to dozens or even hundreds of deaths.
Biotechnology company Moderna Therapeutics has officially begun large-scale testing of its experimental COVID-19 vaccine on America's youngest children. Dr. James Conway, professor of pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine.
This is kind of the final frontier in terms of COVID research. The other groups have been studied. Vaccines have been available. This is the last group that needs to be vaccinated.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Literature Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Hey, we're talking about dysfunction, overlooking the dysfunction, why we overlooked it, what we do. And when we're not overlooking and we see it, right? I mean, like, sometimes I've realized that I have trained myself, and obviously when I'm working with clients, we uncover everything. We uncover everything. But sometimes when you're with some family members or you're with some friends, you don't want to see all that dysfunction. You don't want to see it. And you kind of tune it out. Even when it's right in your face. Even when it's right in your face, we tell ourselves a story. Or we say it's not that bad. Or we say, you know, I don't know all the information and I'm not going to judge. And see, I'm really against judgment. That's something that I'm really against, because when we start judging other people all the time, it means that we're probably overlooking a problem in our own situation. Because when we start deflecting our energy on judging other people, that means that we might need to focus that energy on us. And there's probably something we don't want to look at. So I'm not big on judgment. And I know y'all aren't either. So it's hard because then you get in that gray area, right, where you go, oh, I can see something's probably up, or at least I feel it, but I don't want to bring it up. And then maybe you just kind of say, and then the other thing is I think all of us go back into our headspace of how we lived our life. And, you know, our lives were not perfect, so then we just sit there and say, well, my life wasn't perfect. I did some crazy stuff. It is what it is, you know, and we kind of override it from there, too. Right? We kind of override it from there. We go, you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, I made it through. We're going to be fine. But then there comes a time when it's like you no longer can, it's like you no longer can lie to yourself that this is happening. And it kind of hits you like a ton of bricks. And that's when you kind of look at things and you go, okay, I see it for what it is. Why is this triggering me, like we talked about in the, right before the break? Why is it triggering me? Why do I feel like I have to say something? And that's the next step. Why do I feel like I need to say something? And the only reason that I would bring up dysfunction is if I feel as though, if I bring it up, it's to help somebody better their life. Or it's to save someone that's involved in their life. Right? And I'm not, you know, I get it. We're not all out there cape crusaders. We're not all trying to be, you know, and I know we have to be careful with the codependent tendencies too, right? We have to really understand what we're doing this for. We also have to make sure there's egos not involved either. I mean, there's a lot of due diligence. But honestly, the only reason you would bring it up is if you really wanted to help somebody. You really wanted to help somebody. Or you believe that they could take it and understand it and use that to better their life. Because you care. And let me give you an example. Because one of the things that I've realized in life is that when people don't care, what do? When we don't care, when something's not that important to us, we just don't say anything. We just don't say anything. Somebody could create something and you just can't stand it. But instead of giving them feedback, oh yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. Thanks. We just say that because we don't want to deal with it. But it's like when you really do care about somebody and the rubber meets the road, how do you deal with that? When somebody is facing a situation and you see, and let me give you a good example because I think this example might help us to understand, you know, a little better. You know, you have a friend that you've been acting for a long time. You've been telling yourself that they don't have a drinking problem. Okay. And I know many of us have a friend like that, right? Where, you know, you occasionally go out with them. You used to go out with them a lot, but you stopped because they were always out of control. But you just was like, oh, you know, that's just them blowing off steam. You know, and you go out a couple of times and it's just nerve-wracking and stressful and really embarrassing. And you're like, oh, God, this is horrible. And then you start going to lunches with them because you don't want to see it. And then all of a sudden the alcohol starts coming into the lunches. And eventually at one point in time, you know, you have to see the truth. And you realize that your friend, who you really care about, their life is falling apart because they've become, you know, they're a full-on alcoholic and they can't control it. And you want to help them. But what do? When you finally analyze the fact that this person, okay, so first off, are you triggered about the alcoholism? To me, I'm not triggered about it. That's not something that triggers me. And you know, sometimes maybe their actions and attitude because of the alcohol can be triggering. Like, I think it can be rude or disrespectful. Or sometimes it can be triggering that they can put you in a position you don't want to be in, like calling you in the middle of the night, asking you to come pick them up. Or, you know, and you want to help friends, but it's like, dude, I, for my own safety, I'm in bed. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Call an Uber. Okay? But it's like, at what point do you finally bring it up? And then that's when the situation happens. How do you bring it up? And I've had to do this before, and I've had to do it recently. Because I cared about that person, because I cared about them. I didn't want them getting hurt, but I also didn't want them hurting other people, to be honest with you. Because I don't think that they really care about their life that much, so they wouldn't be doing what they're doing right now. My worry was that if I don't bring it up, what if they hurt somebody, and I knew that I could have said something, would I be just as guilty for not saying something? And that's a sucky place to be, because you're like, oh, great, now I have this moral, ethical reason that I should say something to this friend. At least say something and see if I can help them. I might not be able to change anything, but at least I can see if I can help them. At least bring it to the forefront of their knowledge base and not be acquiescent to them. Not just being, oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, man, let me, woohoo, pat you on the back. Have that 15th drink that night. That's great. No. Because then I'm just as bad, right? Because I'm not really caring either. And I had the discussion. I've had the discussion with people before. And sometimes that discussion goes well. And sometimes that discussion doesn't go anywhere. And sometimes that discussion goes really bad. And I found that the people, when the discussion goes really bad, they're just not ready to hear it. And sometimes when that happens, they'll cut you out. You're not going to be spoken to for a while, if ever. You might be painted black forever. And so that's why when we point out dysfunction, we have to be ready for the fact that we might not ever talk to that person again. And I know that sounds extreme, and usually that's not going to happen. But it can. It can. I had a situation where I pointed it out, and it took about 4 months for that person to reach back out to me. And that was okay with me. I was okay with that. Because I knew if they had reached out before, they'd just be lying anyway. And I also knew that, you know what, I had nothing else to say. I mean, if I kept overlooking and not dealing with it, I wasn't really much of a friend then. And I really didn't care if that's the case. And then on top of that, like, I mean, what is the friendship when you're just acquiescing to somebody and accepting the reality that's really not a good reality for them? I would hope that somebody would at least, out of respect for me, speak up in that situation. To me, not to other people, but to myself. And then I've had it where people say, you know what, I say it in a very kind way, hey, I'm here as your friend. And I wouldn't bring it up if I didn't care at all. Because this is a lot of work for me, and I don't really need to be doing this on my downtime, my off days. I don't need to be trying to counsel you or help you or coach you on my downtime and my off days, which I don't have any except for Sunday. So it's like, okay, but it's like I do care about you, otherwise I wouldn't bring it up. And some people will accept it. And you always have to preface it that way. If I didn't care, if I didn't want to see the best for you or the best for your family or whoever's involved, I wouldn't say anything. Because it doesn't behoove me to say anything, because you can tell me, you can block me tomorrow for saying this. But I'm not going to go elsewhere. I'm not going to tell other people about it. And I'm just going directly to you. And, you know, it works sometimes. It does work sometimes. And sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it kind of works and it kind of doesn't. And it's kind of in that lopsided little gray area where you go, I don't really even know if I got through this person or not. And you go, you know, and you just got to let it go. Give it up to God. Do what you got to do. I hope that they find what they need to find. You know, I mean, seriously, that's kind of the situation. But I've also found that when people don't get it or they don't want to hear it or they fight you, there's a time in the fight where they might turn it around on you and say that you're the blame or that you have problems. And that's usually a tactic, right, is that, you know, you have problems. There's a tactic that there's something wrong with you. And that's a great way of turning it around, right? That's a lot of people use that tactic because why? Because it works. Because all of a sudden we're no longer talking about what we were talking about. We're being talked about ourselves. And when that starts happening, hey, it's going to happen. You just got to accept that and go, okay. And my thing, don't get into an argument about it. Just say, hey, okay, that's cool. I mean, I see where we're going with this. It's not really the way I was hoping we would have this conversation, but you know, I understand that you're not ready for this conversation and I'm not going to push it on you, you know, and I wish you the best of luck and I'm going to take off or I'm going to head out or I'm going to get off the phone or whatever else. Because when they start turning around on you, making you the villain and villainizing you, the reason for that is to be able to stick their head back in the sand and try to continue to do what they're doing because they're still lying to themselves. And you can't override someone lying to themselves. If someone is lying to themselves, you can't change that. They have to stop lying to themselves before they stop lying to you. Okay, so that's it. If someone's still lying to themselves, there's nothing you can do. And you know what I have found, though, is that even in the times where it seems like it couldn't get worse, like the conversation was that bad, I always think that sometimes just telling somebody the truth in a positive or neutral way is profound. And then they can use that information and see if it seeps in. Basically, you set the wake-up alarm for them and see if they wake up. Maybe multiple people doing it could help. But then at that point, when that's not working, you've got to step back emotionally. Okay. Some people say, well, I'm just going to, you know, I don't care. I'll just go along with it. Other people say, well, I'm going to block them, you know, and, you know, And then there's a triggering point for us to get angry. They didn't listen to us. Well, it's like, you know, it's not for us to, we can't change people. We can only help advise. And see, the thing about pointing out the dysfunction is that nobody asked you to. See, that's where the gray area is that people ask me for advice, and I give it because they ask. You know, I mean, there's a reason why people hire to work with me, because they ask me. They want me to help them figure out situations in their life that makes it work for them to the best of the ability and help them live their true life. But if somebody's not asking for my advice, it's also that's where the gray area is, because they need to live their own life. But if you care about somebody, that's where that situation is. You care about someone that's in that person's life, like a child or an animal that they should be taken care of, or whatever's going on. I mean, that's when we have to say something. But again, we're saying it, and it hasn't been asked for. And that's hard, because you might get some blowback from that. And when you do, we have to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to emotionally distance myself from the person. I can love them from a distance. I can occasionally text message, occasionally, you know, email or whatever, but I'm not going to be in the forefront of their life, because I realize that, you know, that's just not something I'm choosing to do right now. And see, I think that's what changes the dynamic from when we were a child to when we're an adult, is that we can choose who we interact with. We can choose how we feel about it. We don't have to acquiesce because we have no power. Now we actually have the power to decide, do I want that around me all the time? Or do I not? Do I want that around me one day a week, or do I not? Do I want to spend time with that person at lunch because I know that they're going to drink all the time and that's the only time that I'm going to get a sober version of them? Okay, if that's what you're willing to do. You got to think about what you're willing to deal with. Because if you're dealing with something that you're not willing to deal with and is causing resentment and anger in the relationship, that's not helping anybody. We're going to end up taking that resentment and anger out on them eventually, and there's going to be a fight and an argument, and it's probably not going to turn out great, right? Because it's all that pent-up anger doesn't go anywhere. It just festers, right? It's like, you know, and you just lose it. And so we have to just sit there and say, okay, if you're willing to bring it up, then find out who's willing to take it. And if they're not willing to take it, then, you know, I also find that sometimes, too, we need to sit there and look at, what is this telling us? What is this telling me about my life? Is there something that I need to be looking at? Some of you, I know, that have come to me and said, you know, there's multiple people in my life that are dealing with multiple situations, and I feel bad, but there's, you know, it's getting in the way of their development. I want to point it out. It's like, okay, let's make sure why we're pointing this out. Are we pointing this out because we're being altruistic? Are we pointing this out because we want the best for the other person? Why are we pointing this out? Also, I mean, do we need to look inside of ourselves? Is there anything that we need to be working on that directly correlates to maybe the situation? And how can I begin to work on that? Because I do agree that we have to be careful. If we're in a situation where we find ourselves around many people with many issues, we have to recognize the fact that sometimes that can be deflection used properly by us to be able to focus on their dysfunction instead of our own. But if that's not the case, and it's altruistically pointing it out, it's the right thing to do, but realize that somebody did not ask for that information, most likely. And so when we return, I'm going to be talking more about, you know, how to step back, but also maybe some things that we can do to augment, because sometimes we can get depressed or lonely because maybe it's some friends that you've tried to point that out are no longer there with you. And so maybe it's time to start looking around and start seeing, you know, maybe it's time to develop new friendships and put yourself out there and work on some things that could help. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Don't change the channel. Don't change the channel. We still have some few minutes left. Ashley Burgess will be back this time. Two shakes.
C Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been discussing pointing out the dysfunction, when to do it, when not to do it, why you do it, and what happens when somebody accepts it or rejects it. I mean, it's a big deal, and we're dealing with it on a constant basis. If you know anybody in life, you know, I mean, we all have dysfunction in our life to some degree, and mostly everybody in our lives have dysfunction in their life. But it's like when dysfunction gets to a certain level, do we point it out? And right before the break, I was talking about, you know, pointing it out and when people accept it or reject it. And when people reject it, we have to get some emotional distance. You know, you can only help somebody so much, especially when they're not asking for it. But also we have to separate that and say, okay, what am I learning from this process? What am I supposed to learn from what I just experienced? What am I supposed to learn from the situation that I'm dealing with? Because I realize dysfunction is dysfunction, but it's not just dysfunction. When we deal with dysfunction, yes, it's dysfunction, but when we deal with it, there's a reason why it's in our life. And some of you might have consistent dysfunction of the same type of caliber of dysfunction, and you go, why? Why is it that every time if I walk into a room, you know, I'm every single narcissist, every single thing, every single person's going to come my way. Why? It's crazy. Well, it's because we are connected to that. It's because we're connected to that. It's because we're used to that. It's because that's our norm. And we have to be able to understand that we have to change that norm and get out of that normalcy. And when we do that, we're able to override those situations, right? But we have to see, why is that? Why do we bring that type of dysfunction to us? Why is that? Because sometimes we sit there and we get down on ourselves, we get angry, we get upset with ourselves, we get judgmental. But why do we do that? Why do we self-sabotage ourselves? We got to just look at the core reason for why something happens instead of that. Why do we judge? When we judge ourselves, we're deflecting again. When we judge ourselves, we get confused. When we judge, we get confused. We get confused on why we're doing what we're doing. We get confused and we don't take the right direction. We don't take the right path. Because we have derailed ourselves with what we need to be doing, right? And so it's like, okay, when we see dysfunction, does it impact me? Do I need to make a comment? Can I stay quiet? Do I need to put some separation between me and that person? Or do I want to say something because I believe that I need to say something? All these things are important. And, you know, to me, too, is that when it happens, one of the best pieces of advice I can give you is that in the heat of the moment, don't say anything. In the heat of the moment, if you can sleep on something before you respond to something, you have a much better chance of doing the right thing. And I've realized that a lot of times we feel like we have to do something now. I got to do it now. I got to do it yesterday. Well, you know what? You could have done it for the last 3 years. You didn't do it. Why do we have to do it yesterday? It's better to just kind of let it go. Think about it. You know, understand the situation, process it, and as we process it, we will choose the right path and the right path. But we have to remember, if we're going back to the same programming, not changing anything, why are we avoiding it? If we're just basically in denial, why are we in denial? Because a lot of times that denial is a safe place to be because we don't want to make any changes. We're not ready to make any changes. And I've realized that throughout our lives, we have to be willing to distance ourselves from some people. Throughout our lives, we have to be willing to look at our values and stand up for our values. Throughout our lives, we have to be willing to clean house when it comes to certain people we hang out with, because we have to do what we need to do to keep our identity based on our values, creating those healthy boundaries. And if somebody can't, you know, if somebody can't respect those boundaries, that's fine. But we're not going to disrespect ourselves in the process of just acquiescing just so that we can have somebody around us, right? Because that's like we're just there because we want somebody around us. It's out of fear of not having someone there that we keep someone around us that's not to our best and highest good for all concerned, right? Because there's resentment on all sides. And that's just what I'm pointing out. So I hope that this show has helped. And in the process, it, you know, the dysfunction is a function. Let's figure it out. Look at the dysfunction. Does it trigger me? Do I need to point it out? Is it something that I can express? Is it something that I need to distance myself from? Is this even worth me bringing up? Does this even bother me? Or is this something I'm looking at and deflecting from? Share this if you can with your family and friends. Check out YouTube. Go to YouTube. Put in Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S. We have new video content up every single week. New video content coming up this coming week as well. And thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to contact me, go to AshleyBurgess.com, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. Click on that contact page. Send me an email. I will respond ASAP. So have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you next week. And in the meantime, you know, don't forget to live your true life. Live your true life perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time. I'll be back this time in three shakes.
It is interesting to see how the subjects on Ashley's True Life show and current events so often correlate with past events. As Ashley says, history often repeats itself. Our Dancestors genealogy research comes across great stories from the past that tie to families and our shared history regarding what happens in our country and our community. Dancestors clients have had ancestors that were colonizers, explorers, founders of religions, gunslingers, kings and queens, knights, pirates, heroic soldiers, witches, and witch hunters. Let's find out who the characters are in your family tree. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's dancestorsgenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.